this work. Back in the studio again. Finally got stuff set back up in here. So I might be able to use this more often and just punch one of these out. We'll see how it goes. Something that's been stuck in my head lately. I had a mind explosion experience. I don't know. You know, it's, for me, it's kind of rare when that happens. I almost enjoy it. Like if I have a thought that I like a memory I can't put my finger on, I sometimes go crazy because I wanna see if it's a false memory or if I remember something wrong or if I was told wrong. And I like to do a little research and figure out, like, have those epiphany moments of, you know, eureka, you know. But my whole life, I grew up going to church, Southern Baptist, heard lots of preachers my whole life, lots of Bible studies. And I've been told again and again that Saul changed his name to Paul, or that God changed Saul's name to Paul whenever he became a believer. If you're not familiar, Saul, who is also known by Paul, wrote most of the New Testament. Most of the things we study about understanding who Christ is, and how that relates to us in a fallen world, and what it means, you know, how to live by Christ. A lot of that comes from letters that Paul wrote to the early church. And if you read the book of Acts, which is the story of the early church, you get this gist that Saul, who was this Hebrew, this Pharisee, really knew scripture real well. And he used to persecute the church. And then at some point, he has a salvation experience. He meets Jesus. You know, Jesus at this point had already died and resurrected. But Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus, blinds him, and asks him, why are you persecuting me? And Jesus calls him Saul. Later in the book of Acts, as Saul starts his ministry and starts going place to place preaching, at some point it says, Saul, who was also known by Paul, or Paulus, which was his Roman name, Saul being his Hebrew name, Paul being his Roman name, he was already had that name, but he started to go by Paul the more places he went. And then from that point forward in Acts, it refers to him as Paul. And I've been told my entire life in a countless number of sermons that that was part of his transformation story. Saul was a bad man. He became Paul. God changed his name to Paul, and he became a good man. And that might be a lot of it. I know they still teach that stuff to kids that way. It's severely inaccurate, not only because it's just not founded in Scripture. Like, if you read Scripture, it's clear that his name was already Paul. He had two names because he had a Hebrew birthright, and at the same time, he was somehow Roman. Now, what it doesn't go into detail is how he was Roman. Now, in that time period, you might serve the Roman government in some fashion, like maybe in military service, or, maybe some political deal where your family was helpful politically to the Romans, and so they grant your family Roman citizenship, which means from that point forward, your kids are all Roman too. And Paul probably had a background where his parents somehow became Roman. Now, in the Hebrew culture, that might not have been the most agreeable thing that you would brag about, because the Romans were kind of hated. And if you sold out to the Romans, if you worked with the Romans, it was kind of frowned upon. Hence the whole concept of, like, Matthew being a tax collector and, people hating that about tax collectors because they were serving the Roman government, and it kind of just rubbed in this wrong idea that the Romans were oppressing and controlling and in charge of the Jewish country, the Jewish people, and they were ashamed of that and kind of hated the Romans and felt like they should actually throw off the oppression of the Romans in revolt sometimes. And so the idea that Saul went by Saul because he probably wasn't too proud of the name Paul, I don't know, the idea that people have changed the story and said that God changed his name, and that's part of his coming to Christ moment of transformation, is that he stopped being the old him and started being the new him. That's a cute story, but it's not an accurate story. And I think sometimes cute stories are toxic and dangerous because, I mean, you know, if you're trying to figure out what to tell the kids, I guess that teaches them something. But the truth is that Saul never stopped being Saul. It's part of who he was. And also, he was always Paul. It's part of who he was. And God knew the entirety of who he was and utilized every aspect of him. He was specifically designed for his task. And there's something more beautiful about that, because it's not about, like, he was ashamed of being Roman, and then suddenly being Roman is what saved him, is what allowed him to preach the gospel in places that most people dare not go. It became a tool and a resource. God took something that he was ashamed of, and he converted it into something that was powerful. And that's a beautiful story. Like, that's an elegant truth, and it's the true story, as opposed to just some cute story. I had that epiphany while I was in a Bible study. It's an online Bible study, and the teacher explained that and kind of mentioned how, you know, it's often misunderstood. And I was like, no, that can't be right. And I started digging, and I started looking for any scripture verse that would prove my upbringing right. And nope, not a single one. It's just not the case that Jesus or God did not change his name. He already had that name. And I think, you know, there's a danger in those cute stories. I think we wash away deeper meanings when we pursue something of our own purpose. And also, I feel betrayed, honestly, by every leader before me that recited that story. And since I've come to this revelation, which was like a month ago, is when I first, this cued in on me. I think it was almost the new beginning of the new year. This hit me, and I was like, oh my goodness. Like, and it became obvious to me. And the more I studied it, I kept hearing other pastors still bring it up. Like, it's a thing. Like, I've heard it twice since then, that a pastor in a sermon mentioned the name change of Saul to Paul, as in as in God changed his name, or he became a new, you know, he became Paul. And I think that washes away some of the reality of what it means to follow Christ, because it's not you say a magic prayer and you become a new person and you get a new name. Now, in God's eyes, you're a new person because you're covered with Christ. You know, when God looks at you, he doesn't see, when you've accepted Christ, he doesn't see your flaws and your sin and your filth, but he sees the love of his son when he looks at you. So to God, you're a new person, but to your family, to the people around you, your character doesn't just snap and you don't just change. The Bible clearly talks about this process of chiseling away, dying to ourselves, becoming new in Christ, transforming our thinking. It is a struggle. It is a work that is done through diligence and sacrifice. You've got to lay down your life continually and surrender parts of yourself to be transformed. Now, there are cases where people, you know, have massive transformation moments. Those are miracles. Miracles exist for a reason, because they're miracles. If it was everybody's story, it wouldn't be a miracle. For most people, the truth is it's a long process to become a new person. It's a lot of surrender. It doesn't happen overnight. And so I think we're sometimes teaching people the wrong thing when we tell them a story that's not true, and it pushes a narrative that isn't there. And there's a beautiful narrative that's there, which is that God knows you. And when God chooses to use you, he's going to use all of you. And there's not parts of you that he's looking at and saying, you know, oh, that's not usable by me. No, you're the clay, and he's the sculptor, and he can use every bit of you. And he might change you, but that's up to him. And but that doesn't mean that, you know, that the things that you're ashamed of or the things that you struggle with, that they limit your reach. In fact, for the most case in Scripture, God uses the people that by most standards would say that person has a limited reach because of who they are. And God uses that because he likes to show off. He likes to show off that it's him and it's not us. So, I don't know. That struck me. It was a crazy experience. I'd like to know if you have a moment. Reach out and let me know. Did you hear that story a million times? Did I blow your mind when we talked about this? Because, I mean, I'm 45 years old. It's rare that I run into something that makes me go, wait a second, and double look at everything I've ever been taught. So that was a weird experience for me. It's going to stick with me for a while, and I'm probably going to call people out. If I see him saying the other way, if you start telling the story wrong, I might be raising my hand. Anyways, have a good one. Stay warm. Take care. Bye.